Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Are you guys ready for an awesome night? Man, I'm so excited. These are always like some of my favorite times that we have at C3. And if you're maybe you're new here and you don't kind of understand everything that's going on. Well, my wife and I are the campus pastors of Central Campus. We have a North Campus where we have some campus pastors up there, Matt, McHale, and then Drew and Emma are down at South Campus. And then we have Pastor Jurgen and Leanne, who are away on their 25-year anniversary vacation. And so they're the senior pastors over all of the campuses. And within that, we are a church from the very beginning that seeks to raise and release leaders into their gifting and calling of God. And so we believe that the vision of C3 Church is big enough to house everybody. To house everybody. And there might be a few people that, need to go and, be a top pop star or whatever and move, or president of the United States or something like that. But for the most part, everybody that is here, we want to be able to release you into your gifts and the call of God within our church. I mean, there's so many areas to serve, and one of those is the area of preaching. And not everybody's a preacher. Not everybody's going to lead in that way. But, we have people that are leading on worship, in sound, in kids, backstage. We have people in the parking team that are leading, which is where we started. We have people in the marketplace. We are a marketplace church. We believe that, you can't just lead in ministry inside the church. Like, we need to send people. That's where the people are. That's where the money's made, to fund the kingdom. Just saying. So we want to empower a marketplace people to influence in the marketplace. But tonight we have an opportunity to unleash three of our great up-and-coming preachers. What I'm going to do is I'm going to introduce all of them, and then they're just going to come up, bang, 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 and you're just going to be like punch drunk by the end of the night. And the first one is such a champion. Such a champion. He's only been saved like, what, 2 years, 3 years?
Yeah, 3 years.
3 years emerge. Three emerges ago got saved and just has put his hand to the plow and never looked back. Him and his wife, Gloria, are two of the greatest people you'll ever meet. He's one of our Emerge Men's Ministry leaders. Him and Charles kind of lead the charge along with their great team. And so he's going to be kicking it off with some power and authority. And then we have one of our My City youth leaders, Serena Chittick. Who is married to the handsome Colin Chittick. But they're just awesome, awesome couple, and we love Serena. She, like, watch out, man. I was telling her backstage, we got to throw the rose amongst the thorns tonight, and that the dudes better watch out. She's an extraordinary communicator, and so she's going to be up here. And then we have our assimilations producer. Is that right? He basically is in charge of all of our new Christians and new guests that come into the church, making sure that they get assimilated at all campuses. And you've only been saved a few years, 2.5 years. When you hear him preach, you're going to be like, no way. The guy's just a freak communicator. He's so talented and such a man of God. And he is also married to the wonderful Tanae Klott. So why don't you stand to your feet and just get ready. We are an engaging church. Why don't you help me welcome to the stage, Jeff Forbes.
Man, oh man, oh man, oh man. C3, what's up? What is going on, C3? Let's go. Woo! Man, real quick. Please grab your seats. Please grab your seats. I don't want to take you guys too much time up here. All right, but I got a little message to share today, all right? I need to honor a few people. Mike and Lynette, you guys know I love you, man. You guys are the reason I'm here. Pastor John and Becky, hey, Come on. Hey, Glory, Glory, we're called to live heaven on earth, and you are it, girl. You are it. And to Glory's dad, hey, to Mr. Dawson, hey, man. Thanks, you made a good one. You made a good one. All right, so, hey, I've been convicted a little bit lately. I've been convicted. God said, Jeff, hey, you've been a Christian long enough. Hey, it's time to take off the mask. It's time to take off the mask. See, we all have a mask at some point in our life. So I'm gonna tell you where I came from, and you're gonna understand, oh, okay, yeah, brother, it's time to take off the mask. All right, see, I was born into dysfunction. Born into dysfunction. There is a 15-year age difference between my parents. My mom was 17, my dad was 32. All right, I'm from the Midwest. In Missouri, what's up? What's up, Missouri? You see, here's the thing. Here's the thing. My mother was a young white girl. My father is a black man. And in Missouri in that time, hey, things didn't vibe that like that. Things didn't vibe like that. So when I was born, my grandmother was like, hey, I don't want anything to do with them. Okay? The black side of my family was what, hey, we don't want anything to do with the white side of my family. And the white side of my family was like, hey, we're not messing with the black side of the family. Born into dysfunction. See, my parents got married, but see, dysfunction can't stand. Dysfunction cannot stand. And so that marriage did not last long. All right, so Abe, let's talk about some stepdads. Actually, we ain't gonna call them stepdads. Let's talk about the men my mom married. Let's talk about the men my mom married. See, my mom had a string of marriage. Bless her heart, I love you, Mom, if you're watching. My mom had a string of marriages. And one of the guys she was married to was addicted to crystal meth and had some issues. See, he had a violent temper, all right? He had a violent temper and a crystal meth addiction. The two don't mix. The two don't mix. The two don't mix. So here's the thing. Here's the thing. You got to think, I'm the oldest boy. I'm the oldest boy in my house. I got five brothers and sisters. All right? That house was a war zone. That house was a war zone, I tell you. All right? At times, things got so bad. I remember very clearly my little brother being 4 or 5 years old. All right? And he did what a 4 or 5-year-old does. See, that he cut a hole in his seat. He cut a hole in the seat of the car. So what does my mother's husband do? He takes him, he ties him to a tree. And begins to beat about his head and face like he's a piece of cattle. You got to think, man, I'm like 11 at the time. You got to think, I'm hearing the screams through the trees because he took him down the trees. I'm hearing the screams, and I'm hearing the thud of a grown man beat on a child's body. Just beat on his body. And you know what? Hey, I'm not going to lie. I wasn't courageous then. I was just thankful. God, it's not me this time. God, it's not me this time. It's not me this time. Let's go. Let's go. We're pushing on. You understand? Hey, I felt some opposition this week. The devil was like, hey, dude, no, it's okay. Don't be real. Don't be real. Hey, at church, it's time to be real. It's time to be real. I got something to say. It's time to be real. I got something to say. And you see, here's the thing. Here's the thing. When you're a young man like that, and you go through something like that, you go through a darkness that's that dark, you put on a mask. You see, I put on a mask that was like, hey, everything's okay. Hey, everything's all right. Even though there was times that I was held out of school because I had bruises on my body. Bruises on my body because they took it too far. They took it too far. You see, and so all I did was get angry, get pissed off, get mad at the world, put on a mask, and hey, I don't need nothing. I don't need nothing from nobody. I don't mean nothing from nobody. And then there's a girl. So it's like, I'm like 26, just mad at the world, just upset, okay? But I had never dealt with my dysfunction. I had never dealt with what I was dealing with. Along came Glory Forbes, she's over there. Hey, it's always about a girl. Just know that, it's always about a girl. It's always about a girl. Here's the thing, I meet Glory. Glory is out of my league in the state that I'm in. I'm not ready to receive Glory. I'm not ready to receive the gift Glory is because I've never dealt with the dysfunction from my childhood. See, I put on the mask, but inside there's a boy screaming out, I need a father to love me. There's a boy screaming out, somebody tell me you're proud of me. There's a boy screaming out, hey, one day somebody's gonna come and care. And so I'm married to Glory, and our relationship is dysfunctional. Not because Glory's dysfunctional, because I have unresolved dad issues. I hate to tell you, fathers, We have daddy issues too. If we didn't have daddy issues, we wouldn't need a men's ministry. Oh yeah, oh yeah. You see, here's the thing. I've been coming to this church a lot longer than I've been saved. But I was way up there in a hoodie with a hat on. Like, hey, don't talk to me. Hey, I ain't got nothing to say to you. And then there's Emerge. Glory, bless her heart. She's like, you're going to Emerge. I don't care. You're going. Hey, brother, if there's anybody in the church that needs Emerge, you're going. I get to Emerge. I'm not a kumbaya dude. That's not me. I don't like the song, but they said, hey, there's camping. And there's bonfires and games. I'm competitive. If y'all didn't know that, you'll know later. I'm competitive. So here's the thing, though. I get to Emerge, and I'm like, I'm not feeling this. Jeremy Capallo sitting three rows deep. He's like, dude, it's okay. Just hang here with me. Just hang here with me. Because everything in my being said, dude, run. Run. And I remember being in worship, and I'm like, the first song comes on, and I start to tear up. I'm like, oh, what's going on? And I feel this, and I'm like, oh, the lights come on. So we get to the third day of Emerge. I still haven't opened up. I still haven't said, hey, God, I need your help. Because I can't do this by myself because I got the mask on. So I'm watching the rite of passage. Now I'm 26 years old. 26 years old, and I'm watching the rite of passage. I couldn't watch it. I couldn't watch it. I was like, I've never experienced a daddy walking by his side of his son. I'm like, son, you got it. Son, you're going to make it. Son, this will not take you out. Mike Clark, please stand up. I'm walking down a dirt road. I'm walking down a dirt road. I'm crying. I'm trying to hide from everybody because I can't let another man see me cry. I'm walking down a dirt road, and Mike just, he's pushy. I love him to death. He's a little pushy. He's like, hey, son, what are you crying for? He's like, what are you crying for? And I fall apart in his arms. I wish I would have had a dad. I wish I would have had somebody that just, oh, dude, that's just something. And Mike said, hey, I'm not your biological father, but today I'm gonna be your daddy from now on. All right, and so when somebody tells you they're your daddy, you're like, ah, dude, I don't know. That's just, our first hug was weird. I was like, you know what I mean? But here's the thing. So fast forward a few months, I'm like halfway saved at this point, and we go to a Chargers game. Okay, we're at a Chargers game. I'm a Chiefs fan. Hey, what's up, Missouri? I'm a Chiefs fan. And we're at the Chargers game, and I've got a Chiefs jersey on. I'm with Glory and Mike and some church folks, and there's a guy behind me, and he just keeps pushing me. He's pushing me. And I'm like, dude, this is a Chargers game. There's like 3,000 other people. Come on, pick somebody else. And so he keeps pushing me, Okay, fourth quarter rolls around, and I'm like, he's still pushing me. And I'm like, I'm looking at Mike like, dude, let's do something. And finally, I take my jersey off. I fold it up. I set it down, because any real fan ain't gonna let the jersey get dirty. Any real fan ain't gonna let the jersey get dirty. Colin knows what I'm talking about. I don't care who leaves your team. Don't drag your team's jersey through the mud. And here's the thing. And I'm looking, I take my jersey off, and dude says, oh, big man's taking his jersey off. And at that time, I'm like, hey, I gotta do this in my own strength. That's my thought. Like, hey, I gotta fight this dude. It's just gotta happen. And Mike turns around, looks at him, and says, that's enough. And the dude, two dudes, sit down. Okay, see, here's the thing. When you got a daddy, you don't have to fight your battles alone. When you got a daddy, you don't have to fight your battles in your own strength. When you got a daddy, you got somebody walking side by side with you no matter what's happening. And here's the thing. As a church, we got to understand that. Too many Christians walk around like,
man, I'm just barely making it. The devil's on me. Here's what you got to do. The next time the devil jumps on you, straighten up your spine, stand up and say, no, because my daddy said no. My daddy in heaven said no. Not today, devil. Not today, devil. See, when the devil comes at your house, you need to say, no, I'm getting a new house because my daddy said so. When the devil goes at your kids, you say, not today, devil. Those are my kids because my daddy said so. Because my daddy said so. Church, you don't have to do things in your own strength. You don't have to do that. When the devil attacks you, just stand up and say, my daddy said no. My daddy said no. I'm going to finish up with some scripture. Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply your need according to your riches and glory in Jesus Christ. What that says is your daddy's got you covered. Your daddy's got you covered. Luke 12:31. Go to the kingdom of God and everything else is going to fall into place. I might be paraphrasing. Church, take the mask off. Allow your testimony to set the person to your left free and the person to your right free. Stop hiding your battle scars. Stop hiding your battle scars. Your scars are going to set somebody else free. Your testimony is going to unlock somebody else's prison. I love C3 because you can start in the back and be here 3 years later. God bless you.
Jesus, take your seats. Oh, thank you guys so much. Awesome. Thank you so much, Pastor John and Pastor Becky, for the opportunity to be up here serving you guys tonight. And thank you so much, Pastor Jürgen and Leanne in Germany right now, celebrating your 25th anniversary. I know the platform I'm standing on has been built on sacrifices that may forever go unseen. So for that, I am forever grateful. So thank you so much. Thank you so much. I love this church. I love this church. I'm crazy about it. Most of you guys don't know this, but I actually moved to San Diego because I love this church so much. Like seriously. I grew up in church, went to church all my life, grew up in a Christian home. But in my college years, I kind of took my life back into my own hands, started to do things my own way. And really, after a short while, ended up in a really jacked up, broken, dark place. And it was in that time that I reached out to like an old college girlfriend. She had just gotten, it's like a studio apartment in downtown San Diego. And I said, can I just come for a weekend? Like, I just need like a girls' beach weekend to sort of like clear my head. And it was that weekend I had packed for just a weekend with just one suitcase. And I drove 9 hours from Northern California to just hang out with my girlfriend. And I walked into those doors that Sunday. And that day forever changed my life. I mean, it turned my life upside down. Forever from that day forward, my life was totally transformed. And it wasn't because of the worship. It wasn't because of the word. I had grown up in church, so I'd heard the word of God before. I had been greeted by friendly faces like we have here. I'd even, you know, gotten lost in worship before. I'd experienced something like this. But there was something so different about this place, and I couldn't figure it out, and it, like, drove me crazy. Like, seriously crazy. Like, I was like a dog with a bone. Like, I called home that day, and I was like, I really can't leave here until I figure out what it is that's so different about this place. Like, I was, like, obsessed. Like, I would just show up every time the doors were open. Like, seriously. I remember one time Pastor Drew was like, you probably shouldn't be in, like, 7 different connect groups. Like, you should probably just choose one. Dorothy remembers. You should probably just choose one and like stay there and like get planted. And I'm like, yeah, but Pastor Drew, they're all on different nights. And I'm like wide open. And I'm the one who brings the chips and salsa. So like, I gotta come. Like, I gotta stay. He's like, okay, crazy lady. Like, you're crazy. But it's true. I'm not joking. One time I even showed up to like a cherished mom's group without a kid. Like, just like, hi. Hi, cute baby. I have some questions. Because I was so crazy about figuring out what was so different about this place. And if I'm being honest with you, I think through that whole ordeal, if I'm being honest, I think sometimes the answers can sometimes be a bit overrated. they can be a bit overrated. I think it's actually sometimes all about the questions in our Christian faith. I wonder if that's what the Apostle Paul wrote. He wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21. He says, test everything. Like, question everything, examine everything, and hold on to what is good. I wonder if he said that because he knew how important questions would be. Because questions can really either stop you right where you are, dead in your tracks, or they can compel you to move forward to the things of God. So my word to you today is, don't let your questions halt you. Let your questions haunt you. Let your questions compel you to move forward to the things of God. I know some of you guys have legitimate questions like, you know, will I make any girlfriends at Cherish Conference? Or like, will I like my Connect leader if I go? Or like, if I sign up to serve on a team, you know, will I have to change my life? And those are legitimate questions. And as I walked through this place, I kept bringing my questions back to church. Every time I would show up, I'd keep bringing my questions back to church. And the kind and extremely patient people of this church answered my questions one by one. But if I'm being honest, every time I got those questions answered, I just had more. Like, well, what can I do? And how can I serve? And what gifts does God have for me? Because what I learned about this place that was so different, unlike any other place I had been, was that the presence of God was here. That people were actually operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That people actually believed that God could heal, that God's power was for here and for now, and people were actually moving and operating in the gifts of the Spirit. It was contagious. Come on, anybody in here so glad that a young family came from Australia to a city they'd never been to before with some questions? They had some questions, right? Amen, amen. Amen. I'm going to tell this story real quick, and I'll close with this. We have a boy in our My City Youth. His name is Rigo. Rigo. We love Rigo. We love Rigo so much. He is one of our favorite people. He just came new to My City this year, like right about the time before summer camp. So he started to see the promo videos that we play here of summer camp. It's a lot of fun. And he really wanted to go. He had some questions because his family at home at the time was fighting a really hard battle. His mom at the time was diagnosed with stage 3 sarcoma cancer in her leg. And her life was really, things were looking grim. Her life was hanging in the balance. And Rigo had some questions, and he brought those questions to church. Resources were tight. I mean, they were spending their life savings to, you know, for her medical bills, for her radiation treatments, for the best care. She was being seen by a specialist, like the best of the best in this kind of cancer. And things were tight, and some My City Youth leaders got around Rigo. Got around Rigo, and through the generous giving of people in this church, we were able to get Rigo to camp. And at summer camp, he was able to get some of those questions answered, like, God, can you heal my mom? And we began to operate in those gifts, the things that I learned about this church that set this place apart, that God, his power is here and for now, that God can heal on people's behalf, that God can move in and through the lives of these people. We began to intercede and begin to believe for Rigo's mom's healing. It was like a few weeks after we got, it was like a short few weeks after we got back from camp that my husband got a call from Rigo. Rigo goes, you're not going to believe this. Come on, every good story starts with that. You're not going to believe this. You're not going to believe this, but my mom, on her 25th surgery, the surgeon, the specialist in that field, found zero evidence of cancer in her body. None. Zero. None. Nada. None. I think he had some questions because he opened her up a 26th time just to be sure. Like, there's no cancer. He had never seen anything like it. A specialist in that field. Hallelujah, praise God. But if I'm being honest, I got some more questions. I got some more questions like, God, can you do it again? Like, God, can you do it on a Monday morning at the football field when My City Youth is gathered there to pray? Like, God, can you do it in society? SGSU, Port Loma Nazarene, can you do it on our college campuses? God, can you do it in our prime ministry for people who say it's too late? God, can you do it again in 16 campuses all across San Diego? I want to know, God, can you do it again for a city that needs you? I got some more questions. Come on, anybody here tonight with me, like, I just want to get to heaven empty. Like, I just want to get to heaven with nothing left in the tank. I just want to be winded with just, like, one question left. Like, God, How'd we do back there? Come on. Come on. Who's with me? Praise God. Praise God. I'm out of time. Thank you guys so much. I love this church.
Oh, come on, church. Can we give God a hand for what he is doing tonight? Oh, my gosh. Jeff Forbes had me crying. Serena had me ready for revival. And I'm ready to see what God wants to do next. Incredible. I want to thank Pastor John and Becky for this incredible opportunity. You guys have always believed in me and Tanae, and we love you for that so much. And Pastor Ian and Leanne as well. Know you're celebrating, having a great time in Germany, so take your time over there. I know you guys are having a blast. Well deserved. Well deserved. Well deserved. All right, I want to pray, and then we're going to get into this. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this night. I thank you for what you've already done. I know you have already spoken to people. And I know that you're with people right now, knocking on the door of their heart. God, I pray that you would turn these words into your inspiration, not words, not motivation for me, but something from your Holy Spirit, something new. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Well, I love this church for a few reasons. Number one, I got saved 2.5 years ago here. Absolutely incredible. God is great. I met my wife in this amazing church. Thank God. I'm pretty sure she prayed me into salvation because I don't know if anyone else was going to do that. And when I heard about what our topic was for this message, it got me excited. It was back to church. And for me, that means something. I grew up Catholic and Jewish. There's not nearly enough time to get into that. There's just not. But if there was, I think you guys might imagine there would be some confusion involved growing up with that. There was a lot of confusion, and I thought it was artsy. I thought it was cool that I was like half and half. It was like half-calf, you know, like decaf, cap. I thought it was similar. I had a Christian friend. He's like, dude, you're blasphemous. I'm like, dude, you're mean, dude. I don't like Christians. Just saying, don't do that. Jeff knows, right? So, and the first thing that I kind of thought of when I was like, why do we come back to church? Like, why are we here every Sunday? Why are a lot of you guys here twice a day serving? Why? And the first thing I thought of was, we come back to church so the next generation doesn't have to come back because they grew up in it. And they never left. They never left. Proverbs 22:6. They might have it on the screen. It says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they grow old, they will not depart from it. And I got two things from that. I think it implies two things. Number one, you and I as parents, and by you and I mean you, because I am not a parent. Stop prophesying that. 3 years. 3 years. 3 years. That you and I as a parent know how to raise our child. And the only way that we would actually know how to train up a child in the way that they should go is if we were in church. Because if we weren't, the only way that we would know is probably from our parents. And I don't know about you guys, but I don't necessarily come from the most functional family in the world. And I think everybody can relate to that on some level, right? So that's a good reason. Number two reason was that I got this. God never actually intended for them or for you to depart from the house of God. Because the Bible says that God believes all things, meaning he actually believed that when we get planted in the house of God, that we will never leave. We will never leave. And I think that verse might actually read, train up a child in the way they should go and send them to my city youth. And when they grow old, they will not depart from it. They will not. And I believe that. You know, people come up to me all the time and say, oh, your testimony is incredible. It's absolutely amazing what God's done. And it really is. And God, thank God, he works everything together for good. But you know what I think is incredible? I look at someone like Pastor Stacey or even someone like Serena or some of these other people, and probably you here, you grew up in the house of God and you actually didn't depart. I think it's a lot harder to walk in the light, to grow up in it, to look at the dark and say, that might be fun, but I don't know what it's like. Maybe there's life there, but you know what? I'm gonna stay on this path. I think it's a lot harder to do that than it is, like me, growing up in dysfunction, addiction, all these things, in the dark, and then you see light for the first time and you run to it. So if that's you and you think your testimony doesn't matter, I promise you it inspires people, and it's incredible what God has done in your life. It is incredible what God has done in your life. The second reason why it's important that we come back to church is so that we don't have to worry about building our own house. Because I believe that God doesn't want us to worry or be fearful about building our own life, our own wealth, our own relationships. In Haggai 1, 2 to 8, in the Message version, I think they might have it up here. If they don't, I'll read it. It's a little bit long, so stay with me. He says that God is speaking to the people of Israel through a prophet. In verse 1, he says, the people procrastinate. They say, this isn't the right time to rebuild my temple, the temple of God. And shortly after that, God said more, and Haggai spoke it. How is it that it's the right time for you to live in your fine new homes while the home, God's temple, is in ruins? The next verse says, a little later, he spoke again, saying, take a good hard look at your life. Think it over. You spend a lot of money, but you haven't much to show for it. You keep filling your plates, but you never get filled up. You keep drinking and drinking and drinking, but you're always thirsty. You put a layer after layer of clothes, but you can't get warm. And the people work for you, what are they getting of it? Not much. A leaky, rusted out bucket, that's what. This Message version is for real. I was reading this, I was like, wow, that's in the Bible, that's cool. There's a, take a good hard look at your life. Think it over. Then God said, here's what I want you to do. Climb into the hills, cut some timber, bring it down, and rebuild the church. Do it just for me, honor me. You've had great ambitions for yourself, but nothing has come from it. 2.5 years ago, I found myself in this identical situation. When I was 21 years old, not saved, I took my entire inheritance, which was just my college money wet after I dropped out of college, which was around $80,000. And I said, you know what? I'm leaving my hometown and I'm coming down to San Diego and I'm gonna see what I can really do with my own ambition. Basically did everything in this scripture, spent all my money, had nothing to show for it, filled up my plates, ate at the best restaurants, dined around the world, nothing to show for it. Drank and drank and drank, smoked and smoked and smoked, nothing to show for it. My ambitions had nothing to show for that. Now, when I was first invited to church, I was so ashamed of all of this until I heard these two scriptures. And these scriptures, I believe, will speak to you. It's the first one is Romans 8:28. That God works all things together for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And the second one was this scripture from Haggai. And I felt God say, this is what I want you to do. You build my house and I will build yours. And I will build yours. And God has been faithful to do that. I took his word for it. And yeah, I was faithful with my job and my skill set and my business and everything that I did in the marketplace. But I committed that no matter what, like Serena said, if these doors were open, I was going to be here. I decided to do the internship, and it looks different for everybody. It really does. Everyone's gifting and everyone's calling is different, but these things I know for sure. Number one, serve at church on a Sunday. Soak and serve. Number two, tithe. Trust God. Number three, go to a connect group and allow God to increase everything else. The miracles I've seen in my marriage, in my finances, in our business, I can't explain them. Which is why I know it's God. I'm a college dropout, and God has done more in my life in 2.5 years than I've seen him do in people's lives their entire lives. So trust God, build his house, build this house, and I promise you he is able to do exceedingly abundantly. Come on, somebody, above all that you could ask or think. Come on. Now the last reason, sit down. We don't have time. The last reason we come back to church is so that we can discover why we're alive. The prophet Mark Twain, it's not really a prophet. He might be. The two most important days in our life are the day we were born and the day we found out why. Now, I don't remember the day I was born. I don't think many of us do. If you do, that's pretty cool. Or weird, I don't know. Either way. But I do remember the day I found out why. March 29th, 2015, my friend invited me to church for like a month. He went to Emerge and got rocked. And he said, you know what? I know you grew up Catholic and Jewish, but there's something different in this church. There's something different in this church. You have to come. You have to come. And I was still doing all myself. I was nearly at the end of all of my money. And I was like, I'm not going to church, man. It's the last place I need to be. Do you know what I've done for the last 2.5 years? I would burn if I walked in there. And I still have friends that I hung out with that say that. And it hurts me because I know that they won't. I know that the lives will be changed. So I decided one night, 5 p.m., I was like, you know what? I'm going to go. So I got dressed up in my Catholic clothes. Like, I was dressed up, you guys. And I walked in these doors, and I freaked out. It was like Omnia. It was like the best nightclub I went to in Vegas 4 times. It's a right enough to pay a cover fee, and I didn't leave with a hangover. I left with a God who was there for me, who said, when I said, Daddy, come on. And I remember Pastor John was preaching. I'll never forget it. Big Hero 6. Podcast it. Changed my life. And I was sitting right there. And he said, here's how I know God is in this place right now, is because when Jeff Forbes started speaking about taking the mask off, that's exactly what I had in my notes. I had my mask on. I couldn't let people see me. I was supposed to have I was supposed to be this guy. I always had the money for food. I always had the money for these expensive trips. I had the nice car. And now all of a sudden I'm 22 and I have nothing. But if people knew that, I thought I'd be done with. And so at the end of the service, I remember the day I found out I was alive was when he invited me to come up here with everybody else who wanted to receive Jesus. And I remember it was literally right here. I'll never forget it. And my life was never the same. Because I finally felt like I could take my mask off. I finally felt like I could be myself and it was a safe place. And I think a lot of people get stuck because they don't think they could ever break down. They don't think that if people knew who I was, if people knew what I've done, if people knew what I was going through, they wouldn't want to be around me. And I love Jesus because every time in the Bible you find someone who's just completely broken down, you actually find him right there. He's right there with them. And he's right here tonight. I had finally found a hope in Jesus Christ, which was greater than my depression, which would outlast my insecurities, and which would trample upon all my fears and my frustrations. I found life in church. I found life here. Life that I look for in clubs, at the bottom of bottles, and the drugs I did, in the lifestyle I lived that I could never find there. And my hope and prayer is that tonight, for those of you who have been trying to hold it together for so long, who've been trying to succeed at life for so long by yourself, that tonight you would have that same opportunity, that same safety to be yourself and to allow God to come into your life in a way that you never even thought possible. Because I'm telling you, if he did it with me, if he did it with Jeff, if he did it with Serena, if he's done it with all these other people, he can do it with you. And this whole night, everything we do is for you. It's for you to meet Jesus. It's for your life to get turned around. He didn't come back to make bad people good. He came back to bring dead people back to life. And it was never meant to be a religion. It was meant to be a relationship. The Bible says that God sent his son, his only son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for you and for me to have life. In John 10:10, says that the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And some of you tonight, I had felt this when I was praying, that some of you tonight, you feel like you have been just trampled upon lately. That someone or something has been stealing from you, has been killing you on the inside, has been destroying your life. But I love what Jesus says in response to that. He says, but I have come to bring life, and life more abundantly. Life with Jesus is different. Life with Jesus, you'll never be the same. And so tonight, I want to give everyone that opportunity. I want to pray for two types of people. If everyone could bow your head and close your eyes. Maybe you're like me, and this is the first type of person, and you never knew God. Maybe you knew some Christians growing up. Maybe you went to church, but it was never anything where you felt something. It was never anything where you felt like someone or something was pulling on your heart. And tonight, you feel that. Maybe you're thinking, I can't have another year like 2017. I can't keep living like this. Something has to change or I don't know what is going to happen to me. If that's you tonight, I want to pray with you. And the second type of person is maybe you're like Serena. Maybe you grew up with God and maybe you lived in a Christian home and you knew God. But then you went off to high school, you went off to college, you found yourself thriving in a career, and there was all these new opportunities open to you. You said, you know what, I'm going to try that. And you found yourself now far away from God. Friend, tonight you can come back. Tonight, God, as he was on the cross, his arms wide open, saying, son, daughter, I love you. Please come back. Please come back. So tonight, if you're one of those two people, on the count of three, I want you to raise your hand so I can pray with you, so I can include you in my prayer. And I promise that life will never be the same. On the count of three, if that's you, raise your hand with every head bowed and every eye closed. One, God loves you. Two, you'll never be the same. Three. Hands up. Put your hands up everywhere. Thank you. 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 I see your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. God is in this place. God is in this place. If you feel a tug on your heart like I did 2.5 years ago, do not wait. This is your moment. This is your moment. God is here to meet you personally, and he wants to change your life. I'm going to wait 30 more seconds. If that's you, raise your hand. I see that hand. Thank you. I see your hand on the left. Thank you. I see your hand. I see your hand on the top right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I see your hand. Thank you. Thank you. 10 more seconds, and I'm going to close up. I want to pray with those people. This is your moment. Do not let it pass. Thank you. I see your hand. Okay. Incredible. Incredible. Church, can you please stand with me? This is a very special moment, and like I said, I do want to pray with you. I do want to personally pray with you, but there were too many hands. I can't logistically fly around. I haven't figured that out yet. I don't think I ever will. It's okay. But I want to pray with you. And here's the thing. If I come off this platform and I stand right here, I want you to come down, and as our church is going to applause, we're going to celebrate because this is an incredible time. Our band's going to play. And if you're sitting next to someone that raised their hand, if you're sitting next to someone that you thought they probably should raise your hand, like the person next to me tugged on me and was like, dude, come on, I know you raised your hand. If you're that person, smile at them, teeth, use your teeth, and bring them down. So on the count of three, can we bring your friends down? Can you come down? I want to meet you. Church, can we celebrate for these incredible people? Come on down. Incredible. Today is a new day. God is going to do something incredible in your life. I promise you'll never be the same. Just like I did 2.5 years ago, I walked through those doors and I got prayer just like you're about to. And God's going to do something new. I'm excited. He's going to do something new. So if you all will, and the church is going to do this with me, we're going to pray a prayer and invite Jesus Christ into your heart. Some of you may be it the first time. Some of you may be a time again. But either way, if you'll say this out loud with me, the church is going to do it with us too. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did on the cross. Tonight, you met me here. And I know that you are Lord. I turn away from my sin and I look to you. Thank you for saving me. I receive the free gift of salvation. Heaven is my home. God is my Father. And the rest of my life will be the best of my life. Amen. Amen. Come on, church. This is why we do church. This is why we do church. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Incredible. Some of the best people in our church are right behind you. They're right behind you. They've probably got their hand on you right now. In not a weird way. I know that. Because I train them. So what you're going to do is we just want to pray with you. We want to get to know you. It'll only be a few minutes, but we also want to give you a gift, which is a book called Following Jesus. Now, when I first got saved, I said, follow Jesus. Where is he at? I'm down. There's a book on it. I'll read it. But it's a book that'll help you in your walk get started. It's an incredible book, actually written by a pastor in our church. And I love it. And then we're also going to give you a Bible, which is the book I shared some message out of, as well as Jeff and Serena. It's what we preach from. It's God's word to you. It's letters to you from him. They're love letters. He loves you. And you'll see that in that. And lastly, we'll want to help you, like we were all saying, get into a connect group. Find some awesome people, because this week's connect week, right? We want to help you guys get into a connect group where you'll actually, it won't be so big. It'll actually be like 5-10 people at a time. And you'll get to know one another. You'll be known. You can take that mask off and actually be yourself. That's where I got healing. I got healing in connect group. It didn't all happen here. It's a journey. It's a journey. So with that said, if you could turn to your right and my left, there's an amazing young man there. His name's Alex. He's incredible. If you guys could follow him, and church is going to celebrate as we head out. If you guys could walk and follow him. Come on, church. Give him a hand. Give him a hand. Incredible. 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 Thank you, Jesus. And I think as we close out, I think Pastor John is going to come up and close us out with some prayer. Thank you, church. You've been incredible. This is why we do what we do. Love you guys. And let's worship.
Come on, why don't we give it up for Jeff Forbes, Serena Chittick, and Alex Klott. How awesome was that? My goodness. Man, it's always, every time we do these kind of like these 3x10s, there's like this Holy Spirit weaves all of these messages together. And just singing those songs, how great your love is, God. To think that he could do what he did with Jeff and with Serena and Alex, and to see what he did with a full altar tonight. My gosh, what a church. What an awesome group of people you are. Thank you guys so much for your courage to tell your story, to tell your testimony, to ask questions. I love it. You know, Jesus died on a cross naked and vulnerable. I don't think he did that on accident. He did that as an example to us. He took off his mask. He was vulnerable. And I really believe that that's one of the things about this church that changes our lives and allows us to be transformed. Is it just seems like it's a safe place. It just seems like it's a good place. And I believe that's anchored by the presence of God that's here that allows us just to take off the mask and to ask the right questions and to keep coming back and figuring it out. What's different about this place? I'm telling you, if you just keep coming back, God will absolutely transform your life. This is a good place. Been here for 11 years. Started on the parking team, and I was the same thing. What is it about this place? Is everybody really this nice? Does everybody really love Jesus like this much? And I found that it was true. And I'm telling you, the fire will never go away either. The fire of God on the inside, it's only going to grow. It's only going to increase. Doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, the fire of God, the power of God is going to continue to transform your life. So thank you guys so much. Man, what a night, what a night, what a night. We have buckets on your way out for Harvey victims if you want to give more. Get your six-packs and then lose them this week. Come on, every seat needs to be filled in this place. Four times on a Sunday. Like that. Those messages right there will just completely change your friend's life and our life and everything else. So, man, let me just pray for you one more time. Let me just bless you. Father, I just thank you for what you're doing at C3 San Diego. God, I thank you that 12 years ago you sent a family from Australia, like Serena was saying, to San Diego to start a church, to be vulnerable, to take a step of faith. And Father, look at the fruit. Look at what you've done with that one family. Look at all the leaders and all the incredible people that you've raised up. Father, tonight I believe is just an opportunity for us to say thank you. Say thank you for bringing us into this house. Thank you for salvation. Thank you that you're not done with us yet. Father, we just thank you that you're continuing to develop and grow each and every one of us. And Father, I'm praying that, Lord, as we reach out to our friends and our families, even this week, Lord, that they would accept the invitation. And Father, every service, we'd have filled altars of people lifting their hands and giving their lives to you, because we know what that can do for them in their future. Just like Jeff and Alex, just a couple of years saved, God, and look what you've done. So, Father, we're just believing for a move of God in San Diego like this city's never seen. Lord, and we just say, use us. Use us. Use C3 San Diego to do your work. Father, we thank you that we've been to church this week. And, God, I pray that we would go out and that we would be the church, that we would make a difference. I'm praying for opportunities for each and every person to reach out, to encourage somebody, to pray for somebody, to bless somebody, to heal, get somebody healed. And Father, we just give you glory tonight. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. It's great to have you. We'll see you next weekend. It's going to be a powerful weekend in the house.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.